Do you have a little unsolved murder in your home? Got some blackmail you want to unload? Are you the victim of some vulgar extortionist? Well, I know a gal you should meet. She may not be the greatest private detective in the world, and so what if it does cost $300 or $400? She sure is sweet. She's Candy Matson. Like to meet her?
Yukon 28209.
Candy Matson?
Well, I wasn't sure when I looked in the mirror this morning.
Had a rough night, eh?
Oh, there have been rougher ones. Look, voice, before you get caught with my receiver down, who are you and what do you want?
As to who I am, you'll find out very shortly. What I want is you.
How romantic and over the phone, yes.
Let me finish. What I want is you to lay off that cable car business.
Oh, that. Well, I'm afraid I can't. You see, I was sitting beside the man when they discovered his transfer had been punched. Sort of. Permanently. That's how things happen with me. I get into the craziest routines. You see, I used to be a model. I'd been told I had the proper displacements for such a career. But I found there wasn't enough money in it. And a girl has to eat, doesn't she? And she has to maintain a nice apartment on Telegraph Hill and buy enough clothes to highlight the displacement I mentioned, right? Sure. So I turned private eye. You meet a better class of people, mostly named Rigor or Mortis. Take this cable car deal, for instance. It's positively fantastic. But after all, this is radio, isn't it? Like to hear how the whole thing happened? Well, let's just get started then. I wanted to get downtown that morning, but I couldn't take the F car in Stockton. They were ripping up about 87 blocks, which is par for the course. So I walked down Telegraph Hill and up to Mason. That's where the Bay and Powell cable car stops.
All aboard! Come on, come on! All right, Atlanta, show that shapely ankle. We gotta make the Fairmount by Whitsuntide.
The car was loaded, and so was the character next to me. I tried to budge into the seat between him and a Fisherman Wharf's dowager, but I couldn't quite make it. I'd forgotten my shoehorn. Say, pardon me, but would you mind reading your Wall Street Journal over that-a-way a bit? I'd like to sit in here.
Oh, off your chest.
A night of old. He budged his hips about a quarter of an inch, and I slipped in, ready for my rocket ride over the hill and down into town. The trip, as usual, was uneventful. Three smashed fenders and several choice words I never heard before, but I wrote them down. By the time our prairie schooner reached the turntable at Market Street, the crowd on the car had thinned out, but a Buster was still beside me, his head buried in common and preferred.
Market Street!
I started to get down.
Hey, lady, take your boyfriend with you. We're heading back up the hill.
Boyfriend? I'll sue. He looks like the advance man for Lewis and Clark.
Well, how do you like that? He fell asleep over his stocks and bonds.
I looked again. Sir Galahad wasn't asleep. He was stone cold dead on Market Street. What a twist. I, who always went on the prowl for a whodunit, get one tossed into my lap, literally. You see, he just hadn't gone out of this world serene like, oh no, there was a steady slurp slurp of blood trickling down his vest just north by northeast of the equator. After half an hour of questioning by homicide legmen, I knew my morning shopping tour was rained out. And after all, I was only going to buy an emerald clip to match the glint in my eye. Well, that would have to wait. I knew the next step, so I grabbed a cab home. I wasn't long in waiting. Right on cue, and if it was the right cue, it would be Lieutenant Ray Mallard from headquarters, daintily pressing his cuticles against my apartment buzzer. I was right.
What?
I've been expecting you, Mallard. Come on in.
You've been expecting me? Why, Candy?
Naive little rover boy, you. Have a drink?
No, I'm not in the mood. Just make it a double.
Sit down, Mallard, and take off your hat.
It is off.
Oh?
Candy, for once, I'm puzzled.
You're just saying that.
Yeah, because it's true. I've checked and rechecked, and no matter how many loose ends I tie together, I still get no connection between you and Dwight Ellsworth.
Dwight Whosworth?
Ellsworth, your extremely limp traveling companion on the cable car this morning.
Mallard, I can give you an angle on that.
Yeah?
Yeah, the angle being I didn't know him from Euclid.
Level?
Straight. Oh, look, honeypot, this mediocre dialogue is getting us nowhere. What did you haul your size 11s in here for?
Frankly, I don't know. Oh, here. Fill it up, will you?
Well, you're just not going around in circles, Mallard. You're going around in doubles.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said before, Candy, you got a pretty view from here.
Oh? Wait till I turn around.
I mean, from your window. Look at that ship down there. Just docking.
Hmm? Where?
Just down there. Probably arriving from the Far East. That's romance for you.
Here's your drink.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it is sort of romantic. Don't you think it'd be fun to jump on a tramp like that and whisk off to the South Seas? On a honeymoon?
No.
That's what I thought. South Seas. Mallard.
Don't call me Mallard.
Why not? We're just playing for ducks, aren't we?
Ah, very crisp. Playing for ducks. No, Candy, we aren't. Not in this case. We got a dead man on our hands. Rudy Toot Toot shot right through the heart. And you were sitting next to him.
Sure, sure. Go on, get out of here.
What?
You heard me. Lift your hindquarters. Get back to headquarters.
Candy, I don't like that look. You got something on your mind.
Yeah, yeah, but you wouldn't recognize it if I told you about it.
One word of warning. Don't dabble. You're in deep enough. Got it?
Got it. So long, Mallard. See you around the jailhouse sometime. 5-0-fum. 'Twas then I smelled a big fat fee. That great big, kinda attractive Mallard missed the boat. Oh, he saw it, but he missed it. It was that ship he saw docking. That was the first time I came out of the dark since my giant dipper of a ride down the hill that morning. I needed help. So I called an old friend of mine. Well, if you can call that help. Rembrandt Watson was his name. He was a photographer, among other things. And he spent most of his life in the dark room dabbling with bottles. His negatives and prints were sharp. His thought process is not quite. But he'd given me assistance in the past, so I called him up.
Rembrandt Watson speaking. Photography, portraits, and camera work.
Yes, Rembrandt, I know.
Also available for gardening, janitorial services, and babysitting.
Rembrandt, it's Candy.
Especially if they are over 21. Who? Candy?
Now you're tuned in.
Ah. How dare you bother me. I was experimenting with a new type of formula.
90 proof or 100?
100. And Candy, it works beautifully. There's a delightful little pixie in a pink ballet skirt in my living room.
Well, leave her there and get over here immediately to my place. Take a cab, I'll pay for it.
Ah, well, in that case, I'll call for a hansom carriage with a brace of chestnuts.
You got them in your head. Now just do as I say and get over here. Load in, Rembrandt.
Gladly. Where's the man to take me cloak, gloves, and topper?
You're wearing a sport coat and slacks, and you know I have no man.
And therein lies your basic trouble, my dear. You have no man.
Now, Rembrandt...
Every man should have a woman. Every woman should have a man. It's the incontrovertible law of the universe. Candy, you should have a man.
You?
Sure, but I'm no longer a man. I am a sprite transcending the world.
Well, stop transcending a moment and come down to Earth. We've got a job to do.
Oh, how poetic. How idyllic. We've got a job to do. For money?
Eventually.
Oh, one of those. Very well, my dear. Bring me up to date.
Well, I'm not really sure if I can or not.
Oh, good. Then I shall leave and return to me formula.
No. What I mean is, the whole story is so fantastic you'd never believe it.
I might. Try me, Candy.
Well. I get on a cable car and sit next to a character reading the Wall Street Journal.
A strange coupling. A cable car and the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, but when we get to the end of the line, my friend next to me is dead.
Probably the ride down the hill frightened him to death.
Nuh-uh. He looked like a used punch board. A neat little bullet hole through his heart.
Candy, my little ballerina friend in the pink skirt is more believable than what you just told me.
I told you it was fantastic, but none how it happened. Now, sooner or later, Mallard is going to come out of his fog, and when he does, I'm going to be out of a fee.
A fee that so far doesn't exist, my pretty.
It will if my hunch is right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go down to the Chronicle and get all the back files you can on Southern Island Steamship Company.
Oh, the Chronicle. A pleasure. I have a few questionable companions there who indulge in formulas.
Stay away from those companions and just do as I ask.
Very well, my dove. I go, but entirely against my will. And where will you be?
Down on the docks, Rembrandt. I've got to do some legwork.
Let me assure you, Candy, you have just the right equipment for it, too.
Joint. I'll bet they mount slick gullets on the walls instead of deer heads. Come on, Candy. Get your tools out and screw up your courage.
Yeah, miss. What'll it be?
Nothing right at the moment, except information.
For you, information and water are both free. What do you want to know?
Oh, I'm looking for the purser off of Dwight Sonia. I hear he does his shore duty in here.
That's right. Named Campbell. That head on the table over there belongs to him.
Thanks. Hello, sailor. Hey, Campbell, wake up.
Huh? Leave me alone, eh?
Come on, snap out of it.
Who are you?
My name is Candy Matson. I want to ask you a question.
I'm only drinking. Go away, eh?
Well, have you heard? Dwight Ellsworth was murdered this morning.
What?
I thought that would bring you to.
Oh, why, that's the nicest news I've had since VJ Day. Oh, what do you want to know, eh?
Where does his brother live?
Well, that stooge, he's got about as much spine as a water eel.
Never mind, I want to find him. He seems to keep his whereabouts as secret as an atomic stockpile.
He lives out in Seacliff, 25 Dashiell Road. Ask me, the whole family ought to be knocked off.
Thanks. Bartender, buy my friend a little reward, and one for yourself, too. Well, so far so good. Oh, how did I know about Campbell the purser? Well, I have quite a few friends in town, most of a type my mallard doesn't approve. So after leaving that little watering hole, I grabbed a cab and navigated the driver out towards Seacliff. It was so foggy I couldn't see the meter, but I paid him anyway and dismissed him. There it was, 25 Dashiell Road, an austere-looking cabana, one that dared you to ring the front doorbell. I dared. I had the awful feeling I should have been around at the side door delivering laundry.
Good evening.
Oh, except for the fog, yes. Is Mr. Ellsworth in?
Yes, my husband is here, but I'm afraid this is not a good time. There's been a death in the family.
Oh, I know, that's why I'm here.
Come in.
Thank you.
Walk this way, please.
I'm afraid I couldn't even if I lived to be 100.
Mind your tongue, young lady. You're in the house of an Ellsworth.
Hoity-toity. The old babe had delusions of grandeur. Well, no need to get uppity with me. I've mingled with royalty. Why, I once had a bit part in a Rita Hayworth picture. But this old gal was really something. She couldn't have been more than 45, yet looked like something out of Barrett's Wimple Street. She ushered me into a high-ceilinged living room, and there on the divan was my boy, his head lowered into his hands and quite obviously touched. Quite obviously.
Roger, this young lady is here to see you. I don't believe you mentioned your name.
Candy Matson.
You'll pardon me, I don't seem to be hospitable, Miss Matson, but my brother was murdered.
Oh, I know, I was sitting next to him when it happened.
You were.
Yes. Mr. Ellsworth, I don't want to take up much of your time, so I'll come right to the point. You see, I'm a private detective.
No.
Put your nose down, Mrs. Ellsworth. Let me make my proposition. Yes, I'm a private detective, and I'm in a spot, too. The police think I'm connected to this case in some way, so I'm here for a double purpose.
Time listening, Miss Matson.
Roger, I don't think you should be speaking with this woman.
Too late, Mrs. Ellsworth. Now, I can find out who killed your brother, but it'll take some money. Give me a check now for $300 and I'll find the murderer. And I'll also clear myself.
Well, I don't know.
Naturally, you want to see the killer brought to justice, don't you, Mr. Ellsworth?
Well...
Roger.
Well,
don't you?
Well, yes, of course. Here, I'll make a check out right now.
Thanks. Just make it out to Candy Matson, payable today. A lovely collection of guns you have, Mr. Ellsworth. You hunt much?
Yes. The whole family is quite fond of shooting. Ah, there you are.
Thank you. I'll be in touch with you sometime tomorrow. The missus didn't say another word. She just stood there against the fireplace and shot sparks through me. After I waved the check in the air a few times to dry the ink, she showed me to the door.
Very clever, aren't you? taking advantage of a weak-willed man.
I wonder who made him that way.
Don't cash that check. I mean it.
But Mrs. Ellsworth, that's $300, and I need the money badly. I need some new rolls for my player piano. I buzzed back downtown. I wanted to cash that check in a hurry. I knew of only one person who would give me the crisp green at that hour of the night. Uncle Charlie, the honest miller who ran the Chase Room. Uncle Charlie, in the strict sense of the word, was a gentleman. So with a tender little pat on my cheek, he cashed the check and I went up Telegraph Hill and home. All of a sudden, my eyes did a couple of inverted loops. All of my lights were on. Who's in here? All right, speak up.
Ah, Candy, light of my life, come join our party.
Oh, Rembrandt, you gave me a scare.
And you don't scare easy, Candy.
And Mallard, how ducky a midnight soiree. What goes on here?
Well, the chicken you had in the icebox is a delicious.
Was delicious. Looks like you've done everything but eat the bones.
And your vintage is superb, too, Candy. Have a little formula.
No. Now, come on, what gives?
That's my line, Candy. What gives? You're in on something, and I want to know about it.
Oh, Mallard, believe me, it's nothing. I'm just trying to parlay a couple of hunches.
Tall hunches? Look at all of those clippings on the South Sea Island Steamship Company. What are they for?
Oh, I meant to tell you, Candy, I had remarkable success down at the Chronicle. There's everything you want on that steamship line.
Rembrandt, did you have to tell the whole world?
Oh, Candy, you chide me unnecessarily. I merely had the clippings on the table when Hawkshaw here walked in on me.
Okay, Candy, take it from there.
Nothing makes sense yet, Mallard, so there's nothing to tell, really.
Really? How about where were you tonight?
Oh, here and there.
I knew I should have put a man on you.
Two men would be better, I think.
2 days, that's all, Mallard. Just give me 2 days to tie off about 4 loose ends, and I think I'll have it all worked out.
All right. But don't forget, the boys down at Kearney Street headquarters don't love you the way I do. 2 days, no more or less. I gotta go. Thanks for the fowl. Chicken.
I really don't know what you see in him, Candy.
Here, Rembrandt, here's $50 for you.
$50? My word, what's all this talk about a recession?
Go on, go someplace and stabilize the economy. I whipped through the old newspaper clippings. It was all there. Fire at sea on Ellsworth's ship. 2 seamen lost near Honolulu. Ellsworth's ship loses rudder in storm. On and on it went over a period of 3 years. I threw the papers back on the table, helped myself to Rembrandt's formula, turned down the lights and went out on the porch. The bay was dark, except for an occasional path of light from a passing freighter. I sat down to think and think. Then, click, click, just like that, 2 little tumblers in my mind fell into place. There was only one thing to do, and that was to do it the hard way. The next morning, just as the ferry building siren was announcing the 8 o'clock to downtown San Francisco, I got Rembrandt on the phone.
Candy, what on earth are you calling me for at this hour?
Can't help it. There's work to be done.
I did my work last night so extremely well that I am just going to bed now.
Sorry, you'll just have to delay your sack time. Meet me at the corner of Mason and Union in 10 minutes, right where the cable car stops.
Now, what are we going to do?
Oh, we're going to take a little cable car ride.
Oh, what? On one of those bouncing, junky little contraptions? Not with the way I feel this morning.
Union and Mason, 10 minutes. All right, Rembrandt, get on.
This is the silliest thing you have ever done, Candy.
Maybe. We'll see. Dwight Ellsworth was already on the car when I got here, and alive.
How could you tell?
Oh, he mumbled something when I asked him to move over.
Sounds logical. Although I once remember stumbling into a corpse who mumbled for hours.
Rembrandt was in one of his rambling moods, so I let him alone. The car pulled over Mason Street, down Washington, and then swung onto Powell and the Hill. Now, I watched the buildings and apartments carefully. There was a little red brick building, now a big apartment house, a woman's residence club, and so on. Then over the hill and more apartments and the possibilities petered out at Bush. Well, only one thing to do. Canvass all those blocks between Washington and Bush. Okay, Rembrandt, off the car.
Yes, the strangest corpse I ever did see. What did you say, Candy?
Off the car. Come on.
Now what? I just want to go to bed.
Well, not for a long time, Boy Blue. Now here's the pitch. You take this building, I'll take the next. We'll alternate as we go along. Ask if a tall woman with a horsey face dressed something like Queen Victoria ever lived around here.
Oh, Candy.
I know it sounds wild, but it's got to be done.
A horse with a tall face and dressed something like...
Rembrandt, look at me. Get that smoke out of your brain. A tall woman with a horsey face dressed something like Queen Victoria. Got it?
Got it.
Okay, get going. It was slow and tiresome, and the answers I got.
A tall gal dressed like Queen Victoria? Sister.
That was about par.
No, nobody ever like that lived here.
Are you positive?
A dame that fits that description? Yeah, I'm positive.
The morning wore on, and so did we. We were over the other side of California Street now, so we stopped and had a bite to eat. I had pickles with mine, and Rembrandt had olives on toothpicks and a glass. And again, we picked up the hunt. My heart was suddenly making with a Roomba. There, just on the other side of Clay, in front of a three-story red brick house, was a police squad car. There was a little knot of people gathered around. I walked down the block and up the front steps. I didn't have any trouble finding a room. The door was wide open, and there was a body on the floor. Four representatives of the law were buzzing back and forth. One of the buzzies was Mallard.
Well, well, well. My little ambassador of violence. Why is it you're always around the extremely dead, Candy?
I've got no time to brandy the ad-libs, Mallard. Who is it?
Don't know yet. No identification.
Let me see.
Oh, a pen pal, maybe?
I was right. I knew it.
Knew it? Knew what?
You're right. He was a pen pal. He wrote me a check last night for $300. His name is Roger Ellsworth.
What is it? Open season on Ellsworth's? Okay, Candy. Time you filled in the blanks. Start.
Wait a minute. I want to see the window. I want to look at the window here.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Mallard, there are a couple younger Ellsworths living around town. I'm sure you'd like to see them healthy.
Yeah?
Get out to 25 Dasher Road and pick up an old crone, also named Ellsworth. Five will get you 20. She's the one you're after.
All right, but you get back to your place and stay put. I want to have a more illuminating chat with you.
Oh, Mallard, I'm just like putty in your hands. The moon was coming up over Diablo and spraying a path of silver on the bay. Still no Mallard. I wondered what could be wrong. This was it. This was the showdown.
Have you seen a tall Victorian face with a horsey-dressed woman?
Rembrandt!
Candy, I am so mad at you I could... what's the use?
Now what's the matter?
Oh, what's the matter, she says. I've been roving all over Powell Street ringing doorbells. Where did you go, you traitor?
Rembrandt, I'm sorry. In all the excitement, I forgot about you.
What excitement?
There's been another murder.
In a moment, there's going to be another. I'm looking right at you, Candy.
Cool off. Have some formula. Stop snorting steam. What was that?
Your window. Candy, it just shattered.
What? Why would... Rembrandt, get the lights.
Oh, what sort of silly game are we playing now?
This isn't a game, believe me. Hit the light switch, duck down behind the sofa, now.
Candy! Candy, are you all right?
Oh, yikes, it's the gumshoe.
Yes, I'm all right. Where are you, Mallard?
Two houses over. We got your girlfriend trapped on the roof next to you. Don't move, and stay covered.
All right.
All right, Mrs. Ellsworth. Are you coming down peacefully? Or do we have to play cops and robbers?
I'm not coming down until I get that Candy Matson.
Have it your own way. Okay, loosen her up a bit, boys.
Well, better than the 4th of July.
Keep your head down, Rembrandt.
Oh, is that what was up?
Ready to come down now, Mrs. Ellsworth?
No, I'm not. That hateful woman, she's ruined all my plans with her snooping and prying. She is going to die, I tell you.
It was a miracle, Candy. You must have moved just slightly as she shot at you.
It was too close, let me tell you. She's dead?
Oh, decidedly. I think she was dead before she hit the ground.
What happened?
Well... we went out to her house, and she was just driving off. So we trailed her to North Beach, lost her for about a block, and then spotted her car at the top of the hill here. We arrived just as she was getting on the roof next door. Okay, now you tell me your little dream.
It was that ship docking that set my wheels going round. The name Ellsworth started burning him back somewhere. You saw the clippings Rembrandt dug up.
Yeah?
The South Sea Island steamship line was slowly being sabotaged. I did some checking and found that the insurance companies weren't going to renew.
I don't know why I didn't tie that in sooner.
Oh, it's just that you had too many things on your mind, Mallard, dear. I went out to the Ellsworth place looking for a fee, and when I left, I had a check for $300 and a line on a suspect. I was pretty sure the old girl had knocked off her brother-in-law.
Why?
Well, for several reasons. One, she was a venomous old witch. Two, you've never seen such a collection of guns in all your life, and according to Roger Ellsworth, they both enjoyed using them. I noticed one little pop gun that was very interesting, had a silencer on it.
Uh-huh. That was the one she used on you tonight.
Oh, and on Dwight Ellsworth from the window of that apartment where her hubby turned up dead. When I examined the curtains, I saw a nice little bullet hole with burned powder around it.
Now, don't tell me that...
Yes, I'm telling you. She rented that place knowing Dwight Ellsworth always went downtown on a certain cable car. She waited that morning until we were riding by, and she popped him.
Now I've heard everything.
No, not everything. The reason? Dwight Ellsworth, rather than fighting the insurance company, was going to sell the steamship line. The old gal thought she'd beat him to the punch by knocking him off. Company would then fall into her husband's hands.
But what about her husband?
Well, at first I thought he was just another distraught, weak-kneed man with an overbearing wife.
Seacliff's full of them.
Rembrandt, please.
Well, it is.
Anyway, now I'm not so sure, not when I think about that phone call.
What phone call?
Oh, another little detail that just slipped my mind until now.
Oh, I'll bet.
I got a phone call this morning telling me to lay off the case. Looking back on it, that call could only have been placed by Roger Ellsworth. So despite all the boo-hoo tears, looks like he was in on it from the beginning. Then, with me poking around, they got nervous, and at some point, the missus, no longer trusted hubby, decided she's better off without him.
No honor among killers.
Now, somehow she lured him down to the place on Powell, gave him some lead poisoning, too, planning to inherit the whole caboodle herself. Oh, and to be sure she was safe, I was next in her sights.
But I don't get why Ellsworth paid you to look into something he'd want to keep hush-hush.
Well, it would look suspicious if he refused help finding his brother's killer, and I don't think he planned on me living long enough to figure the scheme out or to cash the check. Then he cashed out first, thanks to his wife, who saved me the trouble.
Trouble?
If she hadn't killed him, I was going to.
Candy?
What?
While I was waiting for you to get here, the phone rang. It was Uncle Charlie at the Chase Room. Roger Ellsworth's check bounced like a brand new golf ball. Oh, what is so funny?
Listen in again to the adventures of Candy Matson, girl sucker.
Well, that's the way it goes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. In this case, nobody won, except for Rembrandt. He stocked his dark room with $50 worth of formula, and not the kind to use on negatives either. Let's see. Murder on a cable car, Dwight and Roger Ellsworth done in, as well as the old gal. One check bounced. It really does sound fantastic, doesn't it? But I told you this was radio, didn't I?
Well, now, did you enjoy that story? If... Then pick up the books by the authors that inspired these tales. Raymond Chandler, Carolyn Keene, John Straley, and Patricia Highsmith. All can be found right down the street at the Old Harbor Bookstore. Thank you, Old Harbor, for selling our tickets and keeping us entertained between stage productions. Old Harbor Books, a proud sponsor of Sitka Community Theater. Fuel for this production was provided by the Backdoor Cafe, a favorite gathering spot for Sitka's glitterati, including local authors, politicians, and musicians. Enjoy a cup of joe and scintillating conversation while your baristas lovingly prepare your favorite coffee order.